Hey friends, it's Haley
and Bria,
and you're listening to
It Started With a Book.
If you want to read the most confusing YA that you've ever read, then you've come to the right place, because we've got a recommendation for you. I don't know if you could call it a recommendation.
Yeah,
but it's something.
It's two books that we read.
Two books
that we were given, and we're super grateful.
So grateful.
But
okay,
we have thoughts.
Yeah, we have thoughts. So we did get. So this is actually quite funny. I'm gonna expose this now because we got them.
Yeah.
But I literally ordered Light Lark and Nightbane online on Amazon, and proceeded to check my email, and we, or our email, like our book email, book talk email, and we had an email from Alex Astor's publisher saying, hey, we want to send you the books for free, and they hadn't delivered yet, like the order hadn't gone through on Amazon, so I went so fast and canceled the order because we got them sent for free.
We did.
Which, and it was such a cute box. Like, the box was put together so well.
Marketing was great for it.
Yeah. We got cute little, there was like a cute little page overlay. We had a bookmark.
And it like changed when you twisted it for both men. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it was cute. It was cute. So yeah, we're super grateful. It was our first PR box, so that was super, super exciting. But yeah.
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 I'm a little hesitant because I don't want to hate on something that we were given.
Yeah. Same. But.
But I have very.
I don't
honest like opinions, and we got to keep it.
We got to keep it honest. We got to keep it real for you guys. That's why we're here. So we're going to get into it.
Yeah. We're going to go over our notes that we took.
Yeah. Well, first, spoiler free. Reviews.
Okay.
Light Lark Nightbane by Alex Astor. Unfinished trilogy. We don't know when the third one's coming out yet. I gave both of them a 3 stars.
I also gave them a 3 star.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I gave the first one a 4 stars.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you mention it, yeah.
Yeah.
You enjoyed the first one a lot.
I loved the first one.
So Haley audiobooked them and I read them. Mm-hmm. And I think that made a difference for you for the first one.
For sure. Well, I started reading it, like physical book, and then I ended up, after like 30 or 40 pages, switched to the audiobook, and I wasn't enjoying it for those first like 30 pages that I was reading, but then I switched to audio, and I loved the first book in audio, loved it.
It's so funny how an audio can make or break a book.
Literally, literally. But yeah, those were our ratings. It has so much potential, and like that's what I felt like at the end of book one, was the potential was there, and I was so excited for book two, and I just feel like
it
fell.
Yeah, I really liked the plot and where, like, what I could see her vision for it. I really could. And the whole like breaking the 6 curses, a love triangle, like good versus evil guy.
Yeah.
Like, it had all the makings of a great story,
but
the delivery just wasn't
not,
it
yeah was not there. Our main issue with the series, before we get into like specifics, because we're gonna do like a deep dive, like full deep dive.
Yeah, we're going in.
We've got lots of notes for book one and two, but in general it just was, the book would have been way better if it was adult, like way better, because there were tough, like heavy topics in regards to like not just spice, like in regards to like graphic, like war scenes and fighting scenes and like traumatic, like finding out stuff about your past and stuff like that. And I don't know,
see, that stuff didn't bother me as much, like for graphic, like it was graphic for a YA, like I agree with that.
Yeah,
what got me was like the sexualness of it, because it was like there was always like
a sexual component.
Yeah. Well, for a YA, it was just too spicy. And then for an adult, it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
So it was like that
I
weird.
I feel like that was how it was across all those topics, though. Like,
yeah.
It was graphic.
Yeah.
But it wasn't graphic enough to get the emotional response that we should have gotten.
I had zero emotional response.
Yeah. And I don't, like, this is, I know, like, obviously she's the author, but I don't feel like it's Alex's fault. Like, I feel like if she was, like, given the bandwidth to make it an adult book and she wasn't signed, I don't know. But if she wasn't like signed on as this is a YA series, like then you can change a lot more.
See, I don't know how all that works, because don't you write, like you write your book. So she wrote it that way, and then she sends it to the publisher and they're like, yeah, we want to pick this up. So mm-hmm. how she wrote it was already
book one,
a YA. But I know book one had the spice in it though too.
Yeah, book one didn't really bother me.
Oh, it bothered me.
Yeah. Book one didn't bother me too much on those topics. I mean, it's pretty on par with Shatter Me.
No.
Spice-wise? Girl.
Maybe because Shatter Me didn't give me the ick.
L-Y-H-F-M-L?
Okay, well, I had... lift me your hips for me, love.
Aaron Warner, baby.
Okay, so I had a problem because the romantic moments that were supposed to be like, ooh, tension, just gave me the ick, because it would be like her begging for them to touch her. And she said it to both of them.
Yeah, no, I got that.
It was just...
It was a lot. So in general, we don't have a lot of good things to say.
Yeah, sorry.
For the non-spoilery section. I think that the plot is like there and it's like a good plot, but I feel like she just tried to do too much and it got too confusing and they were jumping and you're just like whiplash.
Yeah.
For both books, honestly. And that just wasn't great. So
it wasn't.
But we're going to pause the non-spoilery section and we're going to get into the weeds of both books.
Let's go over our notes.
We're basically going to be wildlings.
Ugh.
Getting into the weeds.
Get into the weeds.
So if you have not read Lightlark and Nightbane, there's going to be spoilers for book one and two. We're going to be hopping back and forth between both of them.
Yeah.
So leave.
Oh, she said get out of
Bye.
Here.
And please come back because we need views.
Please don't leave us. Okay, so Lightlark, we have immediately her not having powers, kind of annoying. Yeah.
Okay, I remember vividly finishing the first chapter. It was like 11 pages. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's the wildling ruler. That means she has the curse.
She can't love either one of them.
And
she's in a love triangle.
And she eats hearts?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
And that first scene with her eating the heart in front of everyone,
yeah,
I was like, whoa.
So cool. And then like the second I found out she didn't have powers,
I was like, oh.
That's kind of boring.
I was like, wait, so she can love both of them.
That's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was so much potential. And I feel like, okay, in general, literally what, like, I don't think we saw any of the curse's side effects to like any of that people that were actually there. Did we?
The side effects? I mean, no, because it was kind of like
they
came
them.
To the island and they talked about how they couldn't go out at night.
Yeah.
And the ones and their people couldn't fly. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. Okay.
Well,
don't get sidetracked.
Yeah.
so like we knew about them, but that was another thing. It was like talked about, not like we saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And same with her people, because she's a wildling, but she was separated from all of them. So we didn't even. Yeah.
Tara and Poppy are a whole other issue.
Yeah. And they just like disappear.
Yeah.
And it was like betrayal, disappear, never hear them again. Now they're over. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I could not. I simply could not.
Okay. Moving on. Obvious Grimm knows since he got the heart sent for her.
Okay, yeah. That was so easy.
That was the first
to
indicator.
Guess.
Yeah.
So easy, yes. Like the second Grimm looks at her and is
send
like
it away.
Is but, like, don't eat the heart. You send it to her rooms. Like, oh, okay, so he knows she doesn't have powers.
I knew that because they mentioned that he knew curses. So I was like, he's gonna be able to know that she
that's
doesn't
like,
have
what, a nightshade power or whatever.
Yeah. So I was like, oh yeah, that's obvious. Grimm following her to the dress shop. What was that?
Oh, that was a good scene. He was no
obviously not very memorable.
No, okay. Here's the thing. I did like a lot of scenes with Grimm in book one. I didn't in book two, but in book one, like the banter was there for them. Like when he followed her to the dress shop, he made like a comment about the dress like clinging to her and like made a joke, and it was really funny.
Was
like
that when
I
went,
laughed
got the
loud.
Chocolate too.
Yeah, and he
okay.
got the chocolate and all of that because he knows she That's likes chocolate. Because spoiler alert, they're married. What the heck? We're gonna
That's
get there.
That's gonna
We're
be gonna end of book
but,
two.
But like, yeah,
he already knew these things.
He already knew these things.
gosh.
Yeah, I liked that scene when he went to the dress shop with her. I thought that was fun.
Each ruler's trial, Oro lie.
Oro's lying trial.
Oh, yeah. Didn't love those trials.
Yeah, I thought the trials really fell short.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was odd.
It was odd.
Tell your truth. And so obviously no one's
and then,
going to.
Yeah, and then Oro's like, I'm dying.
Yeah.
Woe is me.
Like, we kind of knew that everyone is.
Everyone's dying.
Yeah.
Everyone has curses.
Yeah.
You're not special.
Yeah.
Mr. King of Lightlark.
And then when he, like, paired with her.
Oh, my gosh. The pairings were so obvious. Yeah. Because the whole first half of book one, she was up Grimm's butt. Mm-hmm. And then switch. And it was like, hey, well, obviously we need to get some sort of scenes with her and Oro.
Because, yeah, we knew there was a love triangle.
Yeah, because we knew there was a love triangle. So we're like, okay, duh. Obviously. What did I write? Oh, no.
New book ick, flying without wings.
Okay, listen. I sent Bria a text because I was listening to this and it was just talking about how they levitate. They don't fly. They levitate, okay? If you're flying, you have wings. Okay, so they're levitating in the air and he's like holding her. And the image that I picture in my head was Peter Pan with his leg
she
cocked.
Sends me it and I died. The one like leg out, arm up.
Yeah, the leg out, arm up, Peter Pan. Like that's
him
what I
carrying
pictured.
Her.
The biggest book ick. If you can fly and you don't have wings, no, absolutely not.
And then seeing, I forget which group of people can all fly when the curse got broken and they were all just flying around.
No, no.
Okay, that bothers me too. But like Avatar The Last Airbender is.
I don't watch that.
I know you don't. But it's like they can fly a certain people like. Because they have air power. But like,
that's different.
That's different. So that's they don't have wings. So I don't need them to have wings, but like just a flying power. You can just fly.
You can just levitate.
Like that's your power.
Weird.
That's just weird to me.
Weird. Icky.
But I guess that's the thing. Cause like Superman, like he can fly. That's his power.
Nah.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, but I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I was like,
that's
he just picked her up and they were off.
They were just off. Levitating in the sky together.
That was my thing though, like powers weren't really explained.
Yeah,
there was no
reason.
World building or like anything. Like it was just like we were like talked at, like they flew, they were there, they did this, they went that, da, 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 and I was just like lost.
And I feel like with how the main character, like Isla, doesn't know anything about anyone's powers. She's never been out in the world, so there's such an easy opportunity for the reader to learn with her, but she just kind of got it thrown at her too, and she was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it was not in first person, right?
No,
it was third.
Yeah,
I think it would have been way better if it was first person Isla's perspective, because then we could have been in her head and we could have been like her and figuring out all these things and being like, oh my gosh, what the heck.
Yeah,
like I think that this should have, it would have been way better if it was first person. Yeah.
I feel like she didn't even find out things. It was just like a known fact. Like the chapter would end, a new one would start, and it was like resolved and moved on. And I'm like, how
do we do that?
How
did we get here?
Yeah.
Literally.
That was me the entire
transitions,
book.
The transitions.
There were
none.
That was part of my review. Non-existent.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Her pulling him to the water and out of the sun and their little game.
Oh my gosh. Yes, with Oro, because Oro was, he got injured somehow and she like pulled him to the water because he could like get healing powers from the water. But then the sun started coming out because it was night, and then she had to like drag him into this cave. And I was literally just like,
oh, yeah, because he was dying or whatever.
Dying,
they went on that
was
adventure.
He was going to burn if the sun came and touched him.
And
so she
was
like,
you saved me.
Yeah, you saved me. And that's when their like little love started to click into place. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was literally like, I remember just
and that whole
my
chapter
eyes.
Was like 6 pages.
Yeah.
Like that whole adventure to all of that ending, like that all happened within 6 pages.
And then weren't they were like stuck inside of the cave together because it was daytime, so he couldn't leave. And she was like, I'm not going to leave you.
And isn't that after, then after that, she opened up about her powers or her having power?
Not having power.
Her not having power.
Yeah.
And then he told everyone after that.
And all of this is happening after her and Grimm had their moment together, their super graphic moment together.
Yeah.
In book one. Oh, man. Yeah.
It's just.
Nah, no. I was literally like, oh.
Yeah, when he switched partners and told everyone.
Oh, my gosh. No, I was literally, when I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was like, you.
Meanwhile, he had a plan the whole time. But still, I was like, that was a good, I thought that was like a good, like, shocking moment. I didn't expect that.
Him to switch partners? Yeah. No, I didn't either.
I didn't think he would tell everybody.
No, I was, when he told everyone, I was like,
yeah.
You? I was like, little. Whoa. Choice words that I can't say. No, he, I will say Oro made me so angry throughout both books. Like, he just made me mad.
I thought, I didn't really care for Grimm. I liked Oro more out of both of them. I liked
Oro in the book one, or sorry, Grimm in book one. And I didn't like Oro. And then in book two, I didn't like either.
I choose neither.
I choose neither. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we will.
My note that I have.
Okay, I feel like after finding out everything from Oro about how the heart is needed, how it's hard to decide who to kill, etc., this whole thing is kind of annoying and pointless with the secrets. Like, why don't they just sit down and figure everything out together?
Yeah. Like, why? Like, it really felt like when they finally found the heart and then, like, she got what? Like, stabbed? She got, like, a spear through the heart.
Yeah.
And she lived, and they're like, oh, it's because she was holding the heart of the island or whatever.
Was it really because she's attached to Grimm? It was
really because she's attached to Grimm, but that's what they were saying. And yeah, it was like, they found the heart and now everything's fine. And once they found the heart, they went and told everybody about what was going on. And I was like, why did you have to wait to find it to tell everybody?
Why wouldn't you
band forces together to find it a little quicker so we didn't waste our time this whole book?
It reminded me of romance books, like creating like unnecessary conflict and miscommunication for no reason at all.
Like,
that doesn't belong in a fantasy book. Like,
no,
we need, yeah, because it was so many pages of that when she could have went in depth into different topics that would have like expanded and made it better.
Absolutely.
Ugh. Okay, chapter 40, Grimm quote. Do you remember it?
Oh no, I don't. I meant to go back and write it down because it was a quote that I was like, that was good.
Okay.
Chapter 40, we'll, there's a quote from Grimm, and I'm a big fan of it, whatever it is.
Grimm is the best. Grimm can winnow.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yes. So now let's talk about this, because I hate flying, but you know what I don't hate?
Winnowing.
Freaking disappearing and teleporting somewhere else. That's like, if you different. Can winnow.
Yeah.
Or in Harry Potter, it's like apparate, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Yeah. 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 Like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's freaking cool. And like, when the first time he did it without the star stick, I literally was like, oh, Grimm can winnow. That's literally what I said.
I really need to know if other people find flying an ick. I my brain just keeps Circle going back. Can like, ring? I'm like, this needs to be addressed. Like, this can't needs be, to be addressed. This seems like a guy thing, like a superhero, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like that's like for comic books, not for fantasy series.
I really got to get over this. I might need therapy.
Just from the levitating Oro.
Oh, Heart Eater nickname was Hot. Heart?
Ew.
Is cringy.
Ew. Okay, no. When he was calling her a heart eater. Okay, here's the other thing. You weren't hearing the sound, like the voice.
Yeah. Wait, like, wait, replay the sound.
Grimm's voice?
No, no, you mimic it.
Heart eater. That was actually pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. That's kind of exactly what he sounded like. No, that's like, that is what he sounded like.
Wait, actually. Do it again.
No. Like, what?
You're like, please don't make me.
I can't believe I just did it. Yeah. That good. No, put that was actually pretty good.
That was.
But like that, I was like, yeah, absolutely. But then he changed it and it was like,
Heart. He still never said her name.
Heart. Ew. Okay. Well, but he said he wasn't going to.
I know. But right? Even
or is that my other book?
No, he said.
No, that's my other book.
He said. No,
or
he
was
said,
it both of them?
He said it was too intimate. He said it in the second one. And then he said it in his dream.
Uh-huh,
but even the whole time, he all never right. said it. And all she right, said, listen. He said at the end, that's my wife. And still never said her name.
You ready? Here's the biggest bone I have to pick with this.
Let him know.
I am convinced that Nightbane and Lightlark, this story, Grimm and Isla specifically, is a carbon copy, cut and paste of Draco and Hermione in Secrets and Masks fan fiction by Emerald Slytherin.
Gasp.
I know. No, listen. Okay, but that right there, I said that because literally, like...
The bath scene you explained.
Yeah, the bathtub scene in Nightbane was the exact same scene that happened in Secrets and Masks. In both of these books, Grimm says, "I'm never going to say your name. It's too intimate." And Draco says the exact same thing to Hermione in Secrets and Masks. The exact same thing. Not only that, their nicknames, freaking Isla calls him Demon. And in Secrets and Masks, Hermione calls Draco Demon because he has a demon mask.
That's a lot of similarities.
Like, so many similarities. I'm like, okay, Alex, I see you. Secret.
And how long ago was Secret and Masks?
It's been out a while. Okay. It's not like I definitely can't, it had to have come out before Lightlark, I'm pretty sure.
Ooh.
But I'm like, there's the, listen, I mean, honestly, I'm like, fine, girl, queen, you're also a Dramione fan. Clearly, Alex, you're a Dramione fan. I'm exposing you. And the only reason I'm picking this out is because I read both of them at the same time, but they were too similar.
But you brought it up with other book talkers and they thought the same thing too.
Oh my gosh, yes. I literally consulted two other people and they were like, wait a second.
Yeah, I haven't read it so I can't contribute, but
you will though. I'm gonna get her to read a Dramione fanfic if it's the last thing I do.
Okay. I accept.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Oro saying they gotta kill Grimm. Very obvious. He said that in the first one too.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess so. Yeah, it was like at the end of it.
Her and Grimm knowing each other, all of the spicy dreams actually happened. They were already in love and she just doesn't remember. Wild.
That was kind of crazy to me.
I wasn't expecting that. There was no way for you to guess. Yeah.
I bet that all of these memory or dreams she's having are real now. Yeah. Like, obviously we're not gonna.
And like that. All of her people betrayed her. Yeah, that was insane, actually. New Celeste was evil from the beginning. Crazy that she isn't even Celeste. I knew that Celeste was going to be the main bad guy. I had a feeling. In the first one, I knew it.
I didn't think she was going to be...
But I thought she was just going to be working with Cleo.
Yeah.
I didn't think she was like... Well, Grimm was involved in
it. So
everyone.
I got a spoiler. Oh, yeah, so yeah. Yeah, I looked up literally when I was 10 pages in. Because I was slightly confused at the end of the first chapter because it wasn't explained well. I was like, is she the wildling ruler? Like, is she wildling? Like, is that what it's saying? It's saying she's a wildling. And so I went on Wiki Fandom and looked up Isla. And under her, like, titles, it literally, like, in super bold, it was like wildling and starling ruler. And I was like, oh.
It like got it.
Thanks. So I was like, so clearly Celeste
advice,
dies.
Don't look up Wiki Fandom, don't even if you're confused. Fandom.
I knew not to look on Wiki Fandom. I'm not you're new rookie. To this. I just did it because I wanted to. I knew I was going to find out something.
It wasn't too bad to get spoiled for a book
okay,
like this.
Okay, but listen, this is actually really funny. When I looked up Wiki Fandom, and this was stupid of us, me and you, Bria, okay?
Uh-oh.
I looked up on Wiki Fandom how old Celeste was, and it said 500 plus. And me and Brie are sitting here, and I'm like, no, it says on Wiki Fandom. And she's like, no, but she can't be over 25.
I was like, it just said she was not even 25.
And so we're sitting here, and we're like, wow, Wiki Fandom's wrong. No, Wiki Fandom just has finished the books, and we haven't.
We totally were like, wow, I can't believe Wiki Fandom was wrong. I can't trust it anymore.
I can't trust it anymore. And then at the end of the book one, I literally, when she was like, I'm like, whatever her name is, Angelica, something like that.
Let's go with that.
Aurora. It's Aurora. Angelica. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. But literally when it said, and it was like, she's been alive for centuries. I was like,
oh, 500
Wiki
years.
Fandom was right. I can trust Wiki Fandom.
And that's what we get for thinking we're smarter.
Literally.
Okay. So she is Nightshade and Wilding. She had Oro fall in love with her. So that is how all the powers got transferred to Celeste. Oro can access her abilities because she loves him too. And she doesn't remember loving Grimm. Okay. So that was something that I was kind of confused on and how they can share power. I thought only Oro, because he was the king, whoever he loves, can share power.
No, it's anybody.
Yeah. And I didn't.
And that's why kind of all of the rulers are like, we don't fall in love because it's dangerous.
And that's why none of them really have heirs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then when you have heirs, you have to like transfer your power to them or something.
See, I missed that. I was really confused. Yeah. And that's what I had a problem with this book. I feel like I was always confused.
Always confused.
And we like being confused, but this wasn't like the fun confused.
This was the confusion.
Like nothing will.
This wasn't like I'm trying to figure out the plot. This was like there's so many things being thrown at me that I cannot keep up.
And a lot of like just not loopholes. What's the word I'm looking for?
Plot holes.
Plot holes.
Yeah.
Loopholes. Okay.
Anything else for book one?
No, that was book one.
Okay. Nightbane.
Nightbane. I was angry reading Nightbane.
Yeah. So I audiobooked the entirety of Nightbane. I didn't switch back and forth like I did from Lightlark.
Yeah.
And
for those of you who know, I hate Cruel Prince. And it was giving Cruel Prince. Like, I could not.
Yeah, you do.
I could.
Yeah. No, it was the. It was giving a lot of things. Nightbane was giving a lot of things. The first thing it was giving was Jermione. Then it was giving freaking Asteri from
the different worlds.
House of Flame and Shadow. Okay. I was like, what? Where are we going?
Let's
with
start
this?
From the beginning.
From the beginning, though.
From the top.
Oro pissed me off.
Okay, this is gonna be fun because we have different opinions. Because your first note, living for Grimm before moments, but you said Oro was annoying. As Frick, not kissing her. And I thought the opposite. I thought Grimm was really annoying. I just didn't really.
The fact that she was literally like, can you, like, just come, like, be with me? Like, come be in my presence. And she'd be, like, kind of flirting with him. And then, like, he would get close to her like he's going to kiss her. And then he would literally just turn away and walk out.
See, it made sense to me because she literally is trying to figure out her memories. He's giving her the space to figure it out because she's obviously a mess. She's a mess.
I mean, she is a mess.
Like, I wouldn't want to be kissing her either.
Okay, but imagine if you were Isla.
And look, this is why she ended up leaving him anyways. Poor Oro.
I do feel bad for him.
Like, she goes, save it for the end. Then he won't even stay in the room with her. Like, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. That was okay.
Well, he did take it really far.
He took it very far.
But like, it was I can't even stand to be around you because I like you so much.
He moved out of his room. I'm like, man, just stay the night with her in your room. You don't have to clean
house. You're the king. Get an extra bed in there or something. Literally. A couch. Something.
I'm sure there's always a chase lounge in those freaking rooms. Go sleep on the couch.
Literally.
You don't have to leave.
Out of
moved
the room.
Moved out. But they conveniently left a dresser full of his t-shirts so that she could sleep in them.
Ick.
Dude, so icky. And then, oh my gosh, his reaction to seeing her in the t-shirt. I literally was cringing so badly.
That is such a real thing, though, of like a guy seeing her.
It is.
So, like, but I get
the
it.
Way
but
that, the way that she was like, oh my gosh, like, should I change? And he was like, don't you dare. Yeah. That's the only thing I want to see you wearing from now on. Yeah. And I was like, ew.
They made her like, she made her like really insecure.
Yeah.
And there was no character growth with that. Like, she
stayed
that way.
And I feel like she was
way.
Like kind of a badass in the first one.
Yeah. And then it like
more
completely
so.
Changed.
And it completely shifted.
Yeah.
And she was just like.
She was like, please just spend time
probably
with
because
me.
She's like, I'm in love with Grimm because I literally have a husband.
Yeah.
Forgot about
too
him.
Bad she wasn't acting like it the whole time.
Okay, here's my other question though. Why didn't Grimm just give her back all of her memories? Like, why did we have to go through all of this? I feel like
it makes
was there
no
a reason?
Sense. Like when he said remember, that's supposed to unlock it. Like apparently it was supposed to be her unlocking her nightshade powers, but that doesn't make any sense because he's the one who took them away.
He literally took the memories away.
And he says, I can give them back.
I can give them back. Why not? Just give them back.
It was one of those
wouldn't
nether like plot holes.
The 30 days that we are preparing for this war that Grimm's going to have. Literally, they could have just given her memories back. They could have sat down and had a conversation.
Yeah.
It was kind of giving miscommunication trope. Not going to lie.
It was, actually, yeah. Yeah. It could have, like, we could have had different conflict.
Yeah.
Like, the conflict wasn't conflicting. It was just weird.
It was so weird.
Yeah. Ugh. And then all of a sudden, Oro stays in her room, and there's a super graphic sex scene for a YA.
Literally so
out
random.
Of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Like, it's, No, it was
and
so
for
graphic.
A YA, like, I'm super against
Here's
graphic sex
thing.
Scenes in YA.
I am also against graphic sex scenes in YA. Here's my thing. I, like, typically, this is, okay, and this is where we can look at the differences between, because I feel like Shatter Me is the, like, spiciest YA that I've read other than this. And, but looking at the differences, like, Shatter Me, they would be, like, making out, and then they would be, like, taking off each other's clothes or whatever, and then it would cut scene. But in this, it was literally like to the point of them being done.
And they were always talking about wanting to be closer to each other
literally,
and like taking each other's clothes off.
To be screwing.
Like it was always something sexual.
Always.
And
no,
there was no like emotional.
It was literally open door YA sex scenes.
Yeah.
Like the only reason that some things were okay to be said is because a different word would be added on. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, so that it wasn't just a single word, or they would literally just like dot dot dot, like she would stop her like what she was gonna say because I guess she was like feeling too many things or whatever,
yeah.
And then it wouldn't say what she was gonna say because you literally can't because this is a YA book,
yeah. And then we're talking about them going all night long.
All night long, multiple times.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro.
And him, like, sleeping with different women. Like, it was just, it was weird.
And that's why it's like, this would have been, and this is a big issue that I had with the whole, like, we weren't allowed to get into it enough. Wildlings are supposed to be seductresses, right?
Yes.
Like, they're supposed to be seducing these men. Tara and Poppy have been training her to be the wildling ruler for the centennial. So if that is true, then they would have been training her to be that and training her how to seduce men and training her how to do all these things.
And
we know that
all.
The only thing that came off with was when like how she dressed, like she dressed slutty, but
and like the dance scene
and the dance
ball.
Scene. Yeah. The dance scene. But here's the thing. It's like, we could have, if this was an adult book, that storyline, which I think would be super important in both the boys falling in love with her. Like, her, like, using those wildling powers that she doesn't actually have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could have gotten into all of that if we were allowed to, but we weren't because you can't talk about that because it's a YA.
Yeah. But then that's what left me confused. Why can't we talk about that, but we can talk about all these other things?
Mm-hmm.
It was just...
No.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. 30 days to save the island all seems a bit dramatic to me.
Yeah.
It really, 30 days to save the island from who? They think Grimm, but then all of a sudden Grimm comes back and he's like, never mind, you can come with me. And then like, okay, so does that mean the war's over? But there's a third book. So now we're going to go to a different realm to like bring all these people back from the dead and to save her life. So there was literally 30 days for what? For nothing.
For what? For what? That's what I was saying the whole book. For what?
What? So anticlimactic. It was
absurd.
Oh my goodness. I get heated.
Yeah, I know. We really are kind of popping off right
now. I know.
We're
I
like,
feel so bad. This is literally all negative. Oh no.
Y'all just need to know, okay? Because here's the thing. It's either suit. Like I either see people kind of tearing it to shreds like we are. Or I see people like super overhyping it. And... I
feel like we're really generous though. We don't really destroy books or ever have
this
a lot of
this is the first
negative.
Time we've ever picked
this
apart a book like
yeah.
this
yeah this is really the first, which kind of sucks. It's like
because we yep
okay
talk about it.
Cleo leaving to help Grimm. Yeah, what, why Cleo left to help Grimm with all of her people.
Why?
And the ships after
Why?
Telling
after
her
about
and
her
the
son?
Oracle and like the two just melted away, but there happened to be one left, but just alive enough
of course
to tell her, just alive enough to tell you, but also come back whenever you want for that last little part. I'm kind of dying, but I'm still kind of alive. I don't know. Like what?
I couldn't do it. Like, and it was like this whole dramatic moment with Cleo, and I don't know, maybe we really just missed the point. Are we just really missing the point and we're just like super shallow? Because I just, none of it was connecting. The why and the emotions were not connecting.
No,
with me.
Because we were all over the place.
Yeah.
Because then they would go from here and then all of a sudden they were back at the castle doing something else. Or like then she was going to get her leopard. Like
what's the leopard's name?
The leopard doesn't even like her. So that also confused me.
Okay, the leopard was also giving dragon from Secrets and Masks vibes.
Was it?
Yes. Major. Major. But I
was so excited about the leopard. I was like, yes, I love when like people are like partnered up with animal, like, or have like bonded animal.
Me too.
I eat it up. So I was like, yes. And then she like got it, which I thought it was kind of cool, you know, the bear thing, whatever.
Yeah.
Then, like,
that scene was kind of fun with her getting her leopard.
And then all of a sudden, he hates her.
It's Lynx.
Lynx. There we go.
I was literally like filing through my brain cabinet of books.
And Lynx just hates her. And like that never really got resolved either. Like, they had some moments of building.
But then Lynx was, like, upset that she was going to, I think it's a girl, was going to be left behind when, at the end.
Yeah.
And then Grimm's like, don't worry, you're coming with us.
Because all of your people happen to be at my castle, too.
Because they fled also. What?
But, like, why? Because then when she first visited his castle, he was like, this is no place for a wildling. My lands are so dangerous to be here. And then he's like, your people are going to be safer there. And I'm like, since when?
Since when?
Like, when was that changed? The safe option?
What changed?
Like, I heard you had people, like, skinning people alive and, like,
which is so bad for a YA. Bro. Nah.
Okay. Her killing the tree to use her nightshade abilities.
I don't even remember that.
So she
killed the tree.
This is one of the things that I wish we could have expanded on her powers, because all of a sudden she had no access to her powers.
How did she get access? Because of the heart. The heart of Lightlark. That unlocked it, right?
No, she didn't get it until the second one with Oro, I thought. He took her to that nightshade guy and he unlocked the thing in her brain, and then that's when it exploded.
Right?
Yeah. And that's when it like exploded, one half life, one half death. And then she started like cutting herself to use emotional, and he was like, don't do that. And then it had like the flashback of her killing like an entire village
and then
of
Grimm's
children.
Like, do that in all the flashbacks.
Yeah. And then to find out she thought Grimm was the one killing everyone, but it was her.
Bro, okay, that was kind of wild.
That was wild.
When all the children, and it was... Yeah.
But, like, then, like, that wasn't either really talked about. It was just like, I love him, bye.
That happened in Secrets and Masks, too.
What?
The children dying.
Because of the...
Yes! Because of Hermione! Dude, I'm telling you, it's copy-paste.
Oh, whoa.
It's copy-paste. I didn't even think about that. And she, like, didn't, she was, like, it wasn't necessarily directly through her. It was, like, something that happened because of her. Bro, I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
Maybe I'm, like, Emerald Slytherin. Look into copywriting that. Because I know you can't because it's fan fiction, but still.
Okay, you wrote a quote down. I could kill you 1,000 ways.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Poison wouldn't be one of them.
He said that.
Both books.
Grimm said that in book one, and then he said it in one of the flashbacks. And I was like, aw, that kind of hurt my heart.
Oh.
Because I'm like, it does. Here's the thing. Finding out that Grimm had all of these memories of her and they were like falling in love, right? In book one.
Mm-hmm.
I, at the end of book one, was like, this poor man. He has literally had to, like, go through this whole centennial and, like, he's been in love with this woman and she doesn't remember anything. You know what I mean? Like, wow, that's hard, right? And so then in book two, I was so excited to unpack that and, like, find out how they fell in love and, like, all this stuff. And I'm finding it out. And the more I'm finding out, I'm like, I don't feel that bad for him because they don't seem that in love.
They literally – that was my confusing thing about the flashbacks, which obviously Isla also wasn't getting a lot from the flashbacks.
Yeah, she wasn't getting a lot from the flashbacks
because
either.
They like hated each other until like the very, very end. They had sex all night long and they were in love apparently. And from the very, very last flashback, and still she was like, "No, I hate him. I'm gonna kill him." And then the last paragraph, he goes, "Let go of my wife," and then she's like, "I love him. Bye, Oro."
Yeah. I love you, Oro, but I love him too. Literally, when she said, I love you, Oro, I was literally like, she's about to say, but I love him too.
It is like,
you know what would have been better? Like, if all of those flashbacks were happening and we got that emotional response, and so did she. That's another reason. Like, yeah. I feel like if we were inside of her head,
yeah,
we like, would have been feeling that a little bit more.
Like fighting it, like, oh my gosh, like oh my I'm starting to feel these feelings.
It, you know how much better that end scene would have hit if it was, I love you, Oro, but I love him more, and not I love him too.
Oh.
Do you know the like gut-wrenching betrayal for her? Like, that would have been so good.
Yeah,
but she couldn't do that because clearly she doesn't, because clearly her and Grimm, like, I don't know, I just feel like they weren't that in love from the flashbacks.
They weren't,
like, but also we didn't really get anything, because at the very end it was like
they weren't very good flashbacks.
And then I had a memory of us having the ceremony, us doing this, us doing this,
us
doing
getting this, a baby dragon as a pet, us,
yeah, and it was just like boom 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 boom, and I'm like, where those are the memories we needed to get the emotional response, and you just zoomed all through them in a paragraph.
In a paragraph.
In a paragraph. You summed up all of the memories that just flooded her mind right at the end.
Yeah.
That we needed chapters to explore.
Yeah, everything was just way too short. Way too short. And too long. Like, how can it be both? But, like, there was too much.
There was too much. There should have been less. It wasn't too long. And then we should have explored what was there a little bit more.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Lightlark seems pretty big, more like a continent than an island.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or heck are these getting these hearts to eat?
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's also never talked about.
Yeah, like whose hearts?
Whose hearts are we eating? Are we eating dead people's hearts?
Take her and eat her heart, and she's like, I'm a wildling. They're like, I don't care.
Yeah. No, but like we never addressed.
Yeah.
Like, are we getting hearts from people until the very end? We were like, are we getting hearts for people who are alive? Are we getting hearts prisoners? For people who are dead? Are we getting hurt? You know what I mean? And that's what, in one of the flashbacks with Grimm, she said to him, she was like, you have to give me people's hearts for my people to eat, of people who are already like on death's row.
Yeah.
And so like that kind of answered a little bit, but I'm like, do you know how much, here's the thing. You know how much better it would have been if we like actually got to see that happen? Like, the hearts being cut out and like having to go through what has to happen for them to be able to get a heart to eat it. That would have been so much better. Yeah. But guess what? We can't, because it's a YA, and that's
way, and it was graphic. Just talked about because he was like, Grimm had to take away their, like, all of her people's memories so that they could move forward, because it was just too traumatic to live through. Why is it traumatic? We know, but like, I wanted.
Yeah. Can we have a scene?
Yeah. But like you said, YA.
I want to read it.
I'd rather read about that in a YA than sex scenes. I just think it's, anyways, forward. Okay. The fan art of the spikes, the arrows.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good one. So fun fact, that actually isn't Lightlark fan art.
What?
So I was texting Madeline and I said, shout out Madeline. She's one of our book talk friends. I was texting Madeline and I said this, like, I wasn't really gonna, like, I wasn't like, I need to read this until I saw this fan art. And I sent it to her and she was like, girl, that's literally not Lightlark fan art. The artist just made that fan art of, like, she like just makes art, not like fan art. She just made this piece of art and someone found it and it's super similar to that scene in Nightbane. And so they were like, it's Lightlark.
That's literally Nightbane, what got me excited to read it.
Same. But yeah, no, the artist, not the author, the artist who painted that just was like making a scene.
Oh, it's interesting.
Not actually them. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Kind of.
I had no clue.
Of course. I didn't really see any other fan art.
No, other than the stuff that like we got from PR box.
Other than that.
Yeah, that's all I've seen go around.
Wow. Can we talk about how Poppy and Tara literally question why she never in her room and it's supposed to be sleeping around, saying she thought literally in the middle of the day. Wait, what?
No, Poppy and Tara, she's like supposed to, so she's using this star stick to transport herself to to see Grimm, right? Like throughout this year. And Grimm can't go out at night. So she's doing this during the day.
And she's supposed to be training nonstop. She's supposed to be
training nonstop or locked in her room. And why is this never questioned by Poppy and Tara? Like, she's never there. She's always going and hanging out with Grimm. That's true.
And, like, almost and dying was, and you're being cut up.
Me,
and
yeah. You're telling me that there was never a, like, oh, crap moment? Like, there was never a, oh, my gosh, Poppy and Tara are going to, like, almost caught
it me? It was, I mean, one of those things that wasn't explored because we barely got any flashbacks to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't get much detail in them.
No, we didn't.
But it's true. A lot of things that just don't make sense.
What happened? Why did that happen? or not happen.
Grim putting a sword to the nightshade guy that she is making out with at his ball.
That was good.
I can't believe she actually kissed him.
Dude, I was shocked.
I was like, ew.
Ew. But yeah, no, when she went to the nightshade ball.
Yeah.
And then she.
He poisoned her.
He literally poisoned her and she starts making out with him. And yeah. Grim comes in and she literally is making out with him and looks down and Grim had put a sword through him. I literally was like, yes.
Yes. Yes.
This is what I want.
I won't touch you again until you beg me to. And then you're not going to want to want anyone else to touch you again.
Gross.
You said literally screaming.
I know. I was screaming in the moment. But I was like.
My thing was there was so much repeated verbiage. Like it was always begging. Beg, pleading.
Beg. Please. Beg and me.
She
to.
Did it to both men. So yeah. I just.
That's also in the Draco Hermione fanfic. Oh.
Finding out that Grimm's general is her dad.
Okay.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting.
Me out.
Okay.
No. Okay. Well, why do you think it's interesting? Because it icked me out.
Because I was just wondering. I thought they were just going to make it like a random guy. I don't think they were actually going to like say who her dad was.
Well, now you know that him and Grimm knew each other, and now she's been birthed and lived 19 years, and he with lived Grimm, who is 500 plus years old,
and knew,
which is fine.
And her dad worked under it. I see.
Yeah, that's like, I was
I
like,
see.
Ew.
Yeah, when you really think about it, that is kind
ew.
Of messed up a little bit.
A little messed up a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, but I saw this chart thing. Your roommate sent it. And it was, it was like, you've got like a 15-year buffer. Like from start. So like from when you're like, they're 18 or whatever. You have like a 15-year buffer of when they can get together with someone. It typically cuts off around 28 because typically in fantasy books, no one's over 28 if they're yeah. like an actual age. And that's like, that's fine, right?
17 to then 23.
Then you've got the creepy period. And that's like anything over 15 years, creepy. But then once you get to 100 plus, golden. Like that's the sweet spot. If they're yeah. 100 plus years older, we're chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not as relatable in real life.
Yeah. But like a 45-year-old with like a 20-year-old.
That's been frozen in time, like that one book.
No.
Frozen in time for
oh
like
my
a
gosh,
few.
Promised yeah. in fire, I think. I don't. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Finding out from the Oracle that she has to kill either Grimm or Oro.
Yeah, predictable.
That was weird. Yeah.
Super
choose,
predictable.
Choose someone.
Yeah.
I bet neither one of them is going to die. Or she's going to try and kill herself or something. I guess if she does
she
that,
can't,
Grimm would.
Because Grimm would die.
Hey,
she's got to kill Oro.
I am so in favor of her killing Oro and taking all three of his powers and then having all five powers or six powers or whatever and being the ultimate ruler of all the realms. That would be fun.
I want this
she
woman.
Turns villain?
Yes. Like at
but
this
I don't
point,
want her to turn villain with Grimm. I'd rather her turn against both of them.
What if she takes both of their powers and kills both of them and then just becomes this like tyrant ruler of all of the realms?
Too bad their lives are linked, so we got to get around that loophole. I mean, it's gonna happen because they're going to that
you
realm.
Know whose else
get...
lives are linked?
Shades and masks.
Shades.
Is
no.
that what it's called?
Secrets and Secrets masks. And masks. You know, lives are linked, and if one of them dies, the other dies.
That's a lot of similarities.
A lot of similarities.
Like every point that we've
every
brought
point
up,
that we've brought
said,
up about Grimm and her is literally also happened to Draco and Hermione, specifically in Secrets and Masks.
Yeah, just the buildup. I wanted a huge. Good. Oh my gosh, she should prick Grimm or Oro.
Yeah, I wanted a moment where I was like, "That's the choice."
That's it.
Like, I feel emotional.
My choice is neither. And that's not a good sign in a love triangle.
That's not a good sign in a love triangle. This is not the love triangle I wanted. I've been literally talking about how I want to read Love Triangle for so long. This is not it.
Yeah, because there's always a love triangle that you know who she's going to pick.
Yeah, I want like a genuine one where I'm like, I don't know, but I also love both of them.
Yeah.
Can we get like two bad guys?
I
feel like I need a mafia book.
I think we're
book.
Going down the bad guy lane. Like, why can't we just choose a good guy? Like, that'll really throw people off because everyone's in the villain era. Like, let's
I
choose the
it.
Good one.
That's so boring, though.
Is it boring, though? Because to me, it's boring now because I'm like, oh, she's going to end up with a villain. Oh, she's going to end up with a villain. That's boring to
okay,
me.
Okay, well, if you think about it, like, think about, like, Book of Azrael. Technically, he's not the villain.
She exactly. is. And it's like, great.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's not boring.
It's not boring. It's phenomenal.
He's the good guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't say anything fair. About her. She could be the villain. The girl's never the villain.
I love it when the girl's the villain.
I've never read that before.
Female
so
villains
fun.
Are so good.
Yes, he's
we
so,
can't get into Book of Azrael.
We
right
can't
now,
even
though.
Go there because, yeah. So read these books if you want. But.
Yeah, read these books if you want. It's hard to like pinpoint an age range that would enjoy these books because they were just so all over the place.
I can't really say it's for younger audiences because I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree so, either. Probably like 17 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's our review on
we were
My Lark and Nightbane.
A little negative.
Sorry we didn't have much good things to say.
Yeah, I really tried
I
and
wanted
into,
to like
I wanted
them.
To like
I wanted
it a lot.
To like them, but I simply did not.
Yeah,
so,
it just didn't happen for us.
Until next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.